Hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn,
then you'll know
a little fire is burning.
You will find a little talk with
Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear, without a ray of cheer. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears away.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn,
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer will turn,
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer will turn,
then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
All it takes is just a little talk with Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand. Number 58. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Let's sing it out on that first verse. There will never be a sweeter story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. And isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Boundless has the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, and isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This This will be my theme and never ending. Great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful. Let's sing that chorus one more time. And isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful?
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? You may be seated. What a joy to be in church tonight. Beautiful day out there, and I hope that you got to enjoy it. And I'm certainly thankful that you were here this morning and glad you're back again this evening. We're looking forward to a great time in the Lord's house. We'll hear these wonderful young people sing here in just a few moments, and I know that they will be a blessing to your heart, and we're looking forward to that. But we'll get started in prayer. Continue to pray for Brother Bob Daniels over at the hospital and Brother Mickey Archer, and praise the Lord, Miss Judy Martin went home, and continue to pray for Miss Judy Whitson. And we are thanking the Lord for His goodness and His work in the lives of these folks. And so I want us to continue to pray about that. But we're thankful at the end of the service tonight, Brother Danny Jenkins is going to come up and share a few things. I just met with the deacons about several mission items, and so we'll try to get done in a timely manner and then have him come up. I want to show you a couple videos that I believe will be a blessing to you, but then also want to vote on a few mission projects that I'd like to see our church get behind. And so it's exciting to get the money out that God has blessed us with and you've given out into the harvest to see people saved, and we're thankful for that. I'm going to ask Brother Kyle to come to the pulpit and pray. We thank God for the work being done up in Ridge Kids. Of course, you got to see that video this morning, just a little recap of the open house last week, and we're thanking the Lord for all that goes on up there. So, Kyle, you come pray for us, please.
Lord, I do thank you that we can gather together and praise your name. Lord, I pray that your hand would be on our service tonight. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work among us and in our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would remove distractions, that we could hear from you tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In your name I pray. Amen.
Well, I just want to go over a couple of announcements. Maybe you're out this morning and missed some of them. We do want to invite you back out this Tuesday night at 5:30. We'll start our meal. We'll have our outreach for Easter Sunday. If you can come at any time, starting at 5:30, grab a bite to eat, and then hit the streets and go out and invite some people to church for Easter Sunday, we would certainly love to have you, and we'll look forward to having a baked potato bar and some things to go along with that. And so it's going to be a great time this Tuesday. We've enjoyed the last couple weeks of that, and thank those who have already been out. And then later on this week, we'll have our Easter outdoor and indoor cleanup. So we'll have some a work day on Saturday morning starting at 8 o'clock. If you can come for that, we would appreciate your help. Brother Dan's going to head that up, so if you have any questions about what we're doing, you can see him, and he'll have some things ready for you. And then we'll have a light breakfast that day, and we'll be done by 11 o'clock, so you can get on with a lot of the other things. I know you got to try to pack into a Saturday, so we appreciate the time that you'd give if you have the time to give it, and that would be a blessing if you can. And then ladies, don't forget to sign up for the canvas and pottery painting activity on the table as you leave this evening. If you've not already done so, that would be a great blessing, so that we can get all the details in order for that. And then I want to ask you if you'd be interested in we've done this before, but we're trying to go through it again. But if you'd like to get your CDL for use at the church, I want to encourage you to think about that. And if you have any questions, you can talk to me. But next Sunday night at the end of the service, Brother Kyle is going to meet you down here at the front by the organ, and he'll have just a little bit of information to give you, a little bit of a track that we're going to try to get everybody to follow, so that we can get a few in. There's some different things that we have to do now that we didn't do the last time we were going through this. I just want to get that information to you, and we've got a few that are going to be trying to do that. And so if you'd like to join them, then you just stop by, see Brother Kyle afterwards, and he'll get you that information. And that would be a great help to the church and great blessing to you if you'd like to get it. And so we'd appreciate that. Those are all of our announcements, so let's all stand together. Brother Dan's going to come lead us in song 48, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, oh, thou art God and man.
Eternal joy.
Thank you, young people. Praise the Lord for your singing. Thank you for blessing our hearts. And what a joy it is to see young people use their talents for the Lord and to bless us in the midst of all of that. Well, please don't forget that our Easter invite cards are out here. We're also using those on Tuesday night. And I want to just clarify or just expound on what Brother Daniel said, just so you know kind of what's in store for you that night. If you're able to come, we'll have a great, he's got it all lined up, a baked potato bar, have the baked potatoes, you put all the stuff on there you want, have a good time of fellowship. But then, if you give us about a half hour or so, maybe 40 minutes, just go out. He's got the areas mapped out. Some are right around the church if they're not already done, and others are not too far from here. And take that map and may have 10 visits, 12 visits, however many is on that street. And then you just simply go by. We're trying to make it as, not as easy, but try to make it so that we can get as many involved as we can. Simply, if you and your family want to go out and just say, this is my church. Love to invite you for Easter Sunday. We get no better opportunity or no better reason in their minds to be on their doorstep than when a special Sunday's coming up, and Easter Sunday is that in our area. People know that, a lot of people know, most people should, that if they're going to come, they're going to come on Easter Sunday. And so I challenge you to be out on Tuesday. Have a good time. Maybe give an hour total, and you can get the news out about Easter Sunday. And then please don't forget, next Sunday, Family Sunday, be praying about family members in this area that you could have come be with you. The choir will be staying up. We get a little extra room that way. And then we'll just have a great, pray. We have a great crowd. And I want you to meet my brother-in-law if you haven't already. I want you to hear him preach if you have met him. And he's going to be a great blessing to us. I really, really do believe. Well, get all that out of the way. We're going to continue in Galatians. If you turn there, Galatians chapter number 4. We're going to look at about 10 or 11 verses in chapter 4, verse 21, down to the end of the chapter, and we'll just continue tunneling through this section of Scripture as we move on through the book of Galatians. But we're going to start in chapter 4, verse 21, and basically this section of Scripture is going to hammer down on us again that law and grace can't exist together. Meaning you can't say that you're gonna that you're just gonna work and get yourself saved and then it's by grace. It's always been by grace. That's the only way it can be. And we see here in verse number 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. The apostle again used of God just to really hammer in and get to the heart of the matter. Do you not hear the law? Can you hear the surprise sort of in the tone of this? Do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons. Now we're going to have a great object lesson from illustration from the old days about Abraham and his two sons. The one by a bondmaid, that was Hagar, of course, that had Ishmael. The other by a free woman, Sarah. But he who was the bondwoman was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou, barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are as the children of a promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, it's easy to get confused or get tangled up in some of the wording there because it's some of those verses are ones that you need to take and look and rip them apart and really study them out. And we don't have the time necessarily to do that, but I trust that the Lord will help us as we look through this passage and see this, that law and grace can't live in the same house. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Pray that you work through us now. And give us what you need us to have as we work our way through one of your precious books of your word. Thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see, number one, they're reminded of what they're asking in verse number 21. They're reminded of what these people are asking. Now, if we go all the way back, you remember history tells us that the people of Galatia were being influenced. We talked about it in last study that they were being influenced by some people that the scholars have called Judaizers, meaning that they were trying to put extra stuff on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not unheard of. It's still happening today. Lots of churches that are within Johnson City around this area are adding to salvation by grace. And they'll say, yes, you do need to get saved and you also need to get baptized. Now, I'm a Baptist. I think everybody ought to be baptized. But nobody's ever gotten baptized in order to go to heaven. The old preacher said, if you want to get baptized, you can get baptized till every tadpole knows your name, but you still won't be on your way to heaven. All baptism does, as far as your salvation goes, is just get you wet. It doesn't do anything for you. It's a sign of what happened already on the inside. But there's still plenty of churches around that are doing that. And there are churches around that are teaching that you need to also live a good life for the rest of your life. And then at the end of that rest of your life, if you got saved plus lived a good life up until the end, then God would let you into heaven. So a lot of those things sound very reasonable, honestly, if you're thinking about it. If you were coming up with a religion, if I were coming up with one, I wouldn't want somebody just to come and adhere to it once and then pull back from it and be lukewarm about it. But we've got to stick with the scriptures. And so here we have this group of people that were trying to influence the Galatians to say, yes, that's good that you got saved. And then they would try to bring back in some of those Jewish laws and make them have those in order to really be saved, so to speak. So we see in verse number 21, it says, tell me that you desire, that you that desire to be under the law. And it's almost as if you can hear that questioning tone. Do you not hear the law? Do you not know? It's like somebody that falls down and then to get back up, they don't want to fall back down the same mud pit again. You had a headache yesterday. You don't want to say, boy, that was so good. I want to have it again. And if I want to get political on it, it'd be like some of the people who would like to take some of the essence of what this country is built on, and that is liberty, so liberty of people to go and make what they want and do as good as they want, but like a person, and there are a lot of them that would be touting the benefits of socialism or communism and stuff, say, oh, isn't that a wonderful system? Well, all you have to do is look back at all of the countries that have followed that and see where it takes them. And then you see where it takes them. That's where it would take us. But that's almost that same spirit, I feel like, in verse number 21, when he says, tell me you that want to go back under the law. Haven't you heard the law? Don't you remember how that was? Don't you remember what that meant? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. And so we see they're reminded of what they're asking, just the strangeness of it. We see verses 21, 22, and 23. But he was a bondwoman, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. So first they're reminded of what they're asking. But then I want you to look at verse number 24 down to 28. And we're seeing they're going to give this history lesson. They're going to get, rather, this history lesson. The apostle, under inspiration of God, is giving it to them. Then the people are taken back to Abraham and Hagar and Sarah. And I want you to, we'll chronicle this as we make our way down through. Look at verse number 23. We'll see that Hagar was of the flesh. Sarah was of the promise. We see there he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh, but he of the woman, of the free woman, by promise. In verse number 23 also, it was expected of that bondwoman. There was no reason to suspect that she couldn't bear children. That was just something, because when Sarah came up with this horrendous idea and Abraham followed right along and did into it, there was no reason to think that this lady couldn't. But the promise was not given that it would be, a child would be had by natural means. The promise was given, Abraham, you will bear a son in the proper ordered way that God ordained. And when you take that all the way through to the religions of today, that might teach that if you live a good life or you do what's right and you stay faithful all the way to the end, and that's kind of what would be expected out of man. But God says we wouldn't be saved by the arm of flesh. By the deeds of the flesh shall no man be justified, but instead by grace through faith in the promise of the Messiah, which was Jesus Christ, who of course came. And so we see that the expected out of Hagar, there's no reason to think that she wouldn't, but of the promised one of Sarah, and still in verse number 23, it wasn't expected to have children, not physically or not naturally. But God said, Abraham, you wait. And how many of you understand Abraham would have been a whole lot better off if he just listened to God all the way through? And we see that that promise was there, even though Abraham could not believe it for a while. Then verse number 22, back in, go up one verse, we see the bondwoman and the free woman. But then look down at verse number 25, we see that God contrasts Mount Sinai. That's where the law was given, the Ten Commandments, twice as a matter of fact, because of the disobedience of the people down there. And Moses broke the first set, went back up and got another set, Mount Sinai. And then that's contrasted with Jerusalem, contrasted with when Jesus was going to come on the scene. In verse number 25, we see that Hagar answers to Sarah. But we see that Hagar, that Sarah has Hagar answer to her. You see the contrast back and forth. And then in verse number 26, we see that the flesh is inferior to the promise. You understand what a great place we live at in history? We're not trying to figure all of this out. We look back to the cross and we see the work that was done and the empty tomb after the cross, and we see the beauty of all of that. We're not like some of them that had to beforehand figure some of that out, but we also see that even in that time, the inferiority of that flesh. And any time we see something in the Bible that's derived by human hands, it's always going to be suspect. Because it's got to be a work of the Lord, or else it's not worth having. So we see then the natural history lesson from 24 down to 28 or so. But I want you to look on, if we look at verse number 29 and through 31, and we see here the need to battle the flesh. Look back at 29. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now. Now, this is not the intent of this passage, but you know you're still battling that old flesh as well. That flesh that couldn't save you, it couldn't work enough, it couldn't do enough, it couldn't provide any salvation merit. But boy, oh boy, even though it couldn't do that, it's still trying to give you a run for your money now that you did get saved by the grace of God. How many of you just wanted to jump right up out of bed at whatever time your alarm went off? Some of you did. Those are the ones that make the rest of you mad. But you know why that snooze button gets a lot of work? If you're like me, I use my cell phone as my alarm clock, and they say you're not supposed to do that, but it takes me a while to even get oriented to find out what button I'm supposed to push on there. So far, I haven't got mad to chuck it across the room, and not mad enough yet. Give me time. I might, though. But you know why you have trouble getting up in the mornings? Same reason you have trouble going to bed at night when you know you ought to because you got to come, but you want to do a few more things. You know why you don't want to answer somebody in a kind, gracious way when they respond to you or when they act mean to you? Same reason you don't want to get up in the morning. You know why you want to snap back at your spouse and not answer them out of love and kindness and courtesy? Same reason you don't want to get up in the mornings. You know why you don't want to get up in the morning? Because your flesh. We can invent 300 reasons why we don't want to do that which we know we ought to do. So that's not the meaning of this scripture, but I'm just telling you, the flesh was not your friend when you were trying to figure out how to get saved. It's still not your friend. But we see here in verse number 29, but he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Now going back to Ishmael and Isaac, and we see that they were contrary one to the other. We have two battles here. Obviously, we battle the flesh because the flesh didn't want us to be saved. The flesh would love for us to, let me just say it like this. You've got an unsaved family member. Satan would be perfectly fine with that unsaved family member trying to work their way to heaven all the way until they die. Isn't that a sad status for somebody to be in? But really, religion, Satan's not a big, it doesn't bother him a whole lot. Because if somebody can stay steeped in religion, then they'll often miss the truth of salvation through Jesus Christ. You ask some of our missionaries who are in very, very religious countries. You ask Brother Graham Foran and some of these. Satan has blinded the eyes of people, and he doesn't mind if he blinds them through total ungodly debauchery or whether he blinds their eyes through very ritualistic religion. Because the end result is the same. if they don't trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see we've got two battles in verse number 29, 30, 31. We've got obviously the battle against the flesh. But then with the second battle we've got is it's these, as I call them, these Judaizers that want us to battle us, to tell us, yes, it's good that you get saved, but you got to add stuff to it. Look in 29. Even so is it now. So just as it wasn't any new thing then when Paul was writing the Galatians, it's not any new thing now. Nevertheless, verse number 30, and here's where the answer to all our problems comes. You've got a doctrinal issue, verse 30 is your verse. You've got somebody on TV, you don't know whether they're right or not, verse number 30 is your verse. You've got some family member that says, you're never going to believe what I heard, verse number 30 is your verse. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman, and the bondwoman is a picture of work salvation. For their son, and the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So you think, well, where's all that kind of mixed up in there? Basically, it's like this. God's using it as an illustration, allegory, to say that work salvation, which we could call it now, and that salvation by grace can't cohabit. We can't live together. You got to either be one or the other. Now then, we have, or now as they did then, we have to now work to keep our doctrine pure. And can I tell you what's being attacked right now? Is all the doctrines of the Word of God. There's a great move in our country that's a very spiritualistic in nature, meaning that there's a lot of religious terminology going around it. But what most people mind is when you get to the doctrine of what the Word of God says. As long as it is this vague reference to even God, as long as it's not Jesus, or if it's Jesus, but as long as it's not the Jesus that's real particular about the specifics, then most people are okay. But where they have trouble is when you pull them over to John chapter 14, verse number 6, where Jesus says He's the only way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You even notice it on award shows, in music awards and acting awards and all these. Oftentimes people will say that we owe a debt, or people will say that they will reference in some form or fashion the Lord. But when you pull them all the way down through, or you follow them all the way down through, they're not meaning it the way that I mean it or you mean it. When we say that salvation comes only through the work of Jesus Christ. In verse number 30, they had to cast out the bondwoman. Not literally, of course, that although God did tell Abraham to send her away and God would take care of her. But figuratively speaking, we have to differentiate and we have to make sure our lives stay built upon the true Word of God. You already got political on that first point. Let me just go ahead and get big religious people do the same as some of those political people do. There's different churches that still want to keep people coming to them again and again, working for their salvation, just asking them to keep on coming back to the spout so that I can keep on giving it out to you, and you keep on coming, and then I'll keep on giving, you keep on coming, I'll keep on giving, and then we'll all be a happy team. Well, can I just be honest with you? You see so many people, and you want such good things for their life. I see where preachers and churches get mixed up in all of this. And they want to hold religion over your head because they want you to do right. I think a lot of them do start off wanting to do right, but they twist and they manipulate you to keep on coming, and they tell you exactly everything you're supposed to do. The only problem with it is it's not scriptural. We've got to build our life on the Word of God, not what someone says about the Word of God. Even if it is a good man. If it would be me and I'm trying to do right, but you owe it to yourself and you owe it to your family to check out everything against the Word of God. Please don't listen to anybody, be it radio, television, internet, or in this pulpit. And we might let a ruffian come through sometime and not know until he gets up there and says, if it gets very bad, I'll come up and pull him down. But we've got to be careful. I want to get everybody involved in the Lord's work. And I could be, sometimes you can get tempted, preachers can, to lord over somebody and twist arms. But my friend, everything in your life and your walk with the Lord's got to be a walk with the Lord. And you've got to do what you do because God has moved upon your heart and wants you to do that. So we've got to keep, at this church, got to keep preaching salvation by grace, through faith, plus nothing and minus nothing. So as much as some well-meaning preacher might want to twist your arm a little bit, say, I know you'd be better off if you did this. He might be right. But manipulation is never right. And so as they did in this day, they had to cast out the bondwoman and had to put up the free woman, or meaning the salvation by grace. So in our religious cultures here, as I conclude here in just a few moments, we've got two extremes. We've got one extreme that says you've got to do this, that, and the other to be saved. There's one thing that you have to do to be saved. You've got to basically turn away from everything else. Forget all that you can do, all that you can muster up. Turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to be your Savior, Savior from your sins. So there's one extreme that says you've got to do this, that, and the other to be saved. The other extreme is, there are some people that say, oh, you don't have to repent, or you don't have to change anything. You don't have to change your life. Jesus changes your life, but you don't just come, as one person said, popping your gum and just add Jesus to your good luck charms. You know, I told you here recently that my pastor was preaching in a missions meeting overseas somewhere, and he told everybody to come to Jesus. And the wise missionary got up and he said, hold on just a second. And he told the crowd that was coming down toward the pastor and the missionary who was translating, he says, if you're just coming to add Jesus to all your other gods as a good luck charm, rabbit's foot, or something that you do that just is a good thing to have around, then stay. But if you're coming to Jesus as the only way of salvation, please come. And so sometimes that's not really communicated in our culture, but in others it's greatly a problem because they're just adding Jesus to all their other little G's, little gods. And so there's that side of the extreme that you don't have to repent, you don't have to turn to Jesus, just add Him to your life of sin, wickedness, and all that. Just bring Him in on the mess and everything will be okay. Now that's a fine line to walk. Because you know, I did it just this morning, told you that you don't clean up your life and then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and let Him clean up your life. But you also don't just say, I'm going to stay in all my wickedness and sin. And sure, I'll check that box over there. If you want me to, yeah, you want me to sign a card over there? And now I'm on the roll? So you do have to come to Jesus. And so those two extremes get us on either side. And we can't be wrong, or we shouldn't be wrong, rather, on either side. We're supposed to be biblical. So we see that there's a natural history lesson here between Abraham and Hagar and Abraham and Sarah, and a great lesson to us to teach us to stay on the grace path. And then you've got that need to battle the flesh, because as I leave you with this, remember, Satan cares not how he blinds the eyes of men. He can blind them through audacious wickedness, or he can blind them through very religious activities. But if a person doesn't come to Jesus Christ in faith alone, there's no way they can be saved. So if a person stays religious all their life, but they never come to Christ, then their end is separation from God for eternity in a place called hell. If a person lives an ungodly, immoral, wicked life all their life and doesn't come to Jesus Christ, then the result is the same for them, to spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And what our job is, to not fall in the ditch on either side, but instead to keep in the center, not to get twisting people's emotions and manipulating them, but also not to let them stay in their wickedness, but instead preach Jesus Christ. Let's stay on Christ. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, not a very direct message possibly, but one that was up next in our book as we're going through Galatians. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to stay right with you. Would you look this way for just a moment? I'm going to have the ladies play in just a minute, but I gave the deacons before I came in here a list of, in 1969, there was a list of the largest churches in America. On that list were 10 of the largest churches in Sunday school in America, 1969. Of those, 8 of them were independent Baptists. One of them was a Southern Baptist, and one of them was a non-denominational or a community church. The unfortunate thing about that list is that several of those churches that were formerly the largest influence and the largest attendance, more than a few, are not even in existence anymore. The Akron Baptist Temple was the largest church in America in 1969. It doesn't exist. Temple Baptist Church of Detroit, Michigan was on that list of the top 10. This is going way back in the days. Brother Bob Bryant and I have talked about it extensively, about the great works of God in that area. God was really doing something. But several of these churches just don't exist at all. And that's just sad. Somewhere or another, Satan got their eyes off the main thing. I don't know where it was. I don't know the details, and there'd probably be intricate details that we wouldn't even have time to talk about. But I'm praying, and I want you to pray with me, that God would help our church. We had a faithful man for 46 years that continued to pastor, but then other great men before him that continued to pastor and try to keep the main thing, and that is preaching. And this church has not been exempt from a lot of doctrinal errors that have come in back over the last couple hundred years. Splits and splinters of people that tried to add to salvation and about wrecked this place back in the hundreds of years, a couple hundred years ago, 150 years ago, and groups came out, and because they were trying to add to salvation. It's not easy. Preacher Lastly knows it's not easy to keep a church trying to stay as good as you can doctrinally pure. But it's so needed, because there are churches everywhere that are falling off one side or the other. They're adding to salvation and making it difficult to be saved, and thereby muddying the waters of salvation. Or that they simply really don't preach much of a gospel message at all. It's gotten all into a social gospel. And I want you to please pray that the Lord would keep his favor upon us. We're not the greatest things in sliced bread. We don't want to puff ourselves up, but we really need to pray that the Lord would be pleased to continue his hand of blessing upon this church. So if you want to come up here and pray, that's fine. If you want to stay back there and pray, but I'm going to ask the ladies to play something through, and you pray for us, please, as we go to prayer as a church. Use it. Certain we've got faults and failures. Look at your pastor. Look at yourself. Lord knows we make a lot of mistakes. But we want to stay doctrinally pure. And would you ask the dear Lord to keep his hand upon Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? As you continue to pray and they play, perhaps you're here tonight and you heard enough about the gospel to know that from what I said. You don't get saved by being a member of this church or by attending this church or any other church or performing a certain amount of religious feats. You only get saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Basically, it's like forgetting everything else. Forget all your attempts and your goodness and your abilities and your tries and attempts. And just come to Jesus Christ. Because we've all got a sin problem, my friend. And if you die without Jesus Christ, then your sins will take a person to a wicked, horrible place called hell. You need to come to Jesus. If that's you tonight, you need to be saved. Would you slip out and me or Brother Daniel or somebody would take a Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. If you're sitting beside somebody, they'll let you out. They'll be glad and they'll even come with you as they play one more verse, then we'll be done. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for being here, and I'd like to show you